am going to be reading this morning from Psalm 84, and I'd like you to find it in your scriptures with me. I cheated, I have a bookmark, so I'm already there. Maybe one day we're going to have a good old-fashioned Bible drill. Wouldn't that be great? First one to pop up reads the scripture. I love it. Psalm 84. I'm going to read the entire psalm. How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, even yearned, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are in the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessing. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from them who walk uprightly. The Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in thee. Lord, we just thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, that you bless David with such acuity and such a powerful message. Father, I pray that we would take those truths and we would not just hear them, but we would use them, we would apply them, and we would live them. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Psalm 84 is known as a pilgrim's song. And so that's the title of my sermon today, is A Pilgrim's Song. And it's a journey that is taking place. And Psalm 84, they would sing this psalm on the way to Jerusalem oftentimes. And as they got into Jerusalem on the way to the temple, it was sung. And it's about going on a journey. Now, the goal was not necessarily the temple, as we see at the later part of this psalm. It's actually Zion, and Zion is our goal. Our goal is to get to Zion. And so as we look at this psalm, as we look at what has been written here and take the elements away from it, I want us to take those elements and apply them to our life as we are on our journey. None of us have arrived yet. If you have, let me know. I will start the funeral proceedings. None of us have arrived. We are all on the journey. And so as we look at this, these are qualities and elements that we need to have in our lives as believers in God to succeed in our journey to Zion, to our heavenly home. Amen? On our pilgrimage, we need God's presence. We see in verses 1 to 4 about being in the courts of God, longing and yearning for that presence of God. Now, when this psalm was written, the presence of God dwelt in the temple, because the temple was the only place that was holy, and it was sanctified through an incredibly ritual process, and it was the holy of holies, and that's where God dwelt. So when you came to church, you didn't get that wonderful rush of the feeling of God's presence. But see, you were made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are now the temple of God. And so God dwells with in you. And so you have this wonderful opportunity, more so than the writer of this psalm, to be in that wonderful presence of God. And we need to want that. There should be a longing in you for that presence of God. If it's not there, take a moment and search your heart and ask your heart, why? Why am I not wanting to be in church? Why am I not wanting to be in God's presence? Why do I pull back when I feel God? What is going on? And you need to search your heart, because the heart of a believer in Jesus Christ should have this longing to be in his presence. There is so much to be gained in his presence. In fact, you know, I love the Word of God. You know, I say, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. But I got to tell you something. It's not just reading a dry, dusty book, because the Holy Spirit gives you the understanding as you read it. And that means you are in his presence. When you are reading his word, ask for his presence there. Sometimes, I mean, it probably looks ridiculous to the onlooker, but I have these really, really big conversations with God while I'm reading the Word of God. I have them all the time. I was reading this, and there was one scripture in here that really made me go, what, God? Really? How do I preach that when people are going through a hard time? And God gives me the answer. And that's what you do. You listen to him, and you talk to him, and you get in his presence. People of God, the enemy is making his presence felt in this world. I do not remember a time of such darkness. And I don't want his presence. I want to be in the presence of Almighty God. And so you take that time, that evil word, that time. And if you don't have time for God, you're too busy. You are too busy. Fix it. Make time for God. And I'm preaching hard here, but I got to tell you, there's a reason for it, because I want us all to walk through the gates of Zion together. We should be high-fiving each other at the gates. You did it. You made it. We need this. We need to pull together and support each other, but we also need to be in that presence of God. Sometimes I do an incredible amount of counseling, and a counselees come to me, and they're grieving. And sometimes I know they're looking at me as if I'm going to give them the magic answer, the word that makes their pain go away. And I can't do that. I can help them to grieve. I can help them to grieve safely, but I can't take the pain away. I can't touch it. But God can. And I tell them, you know, you're still going to grieve. You're still going to feel that pain. There's no easy way around grief. You got to go through it. If you love, you're going to hurt. And that's okay, because that's part of love. Better that you love than that you harden your heart. But when you go and you're grieving, there's a different kind of a grief for the believer in Jesus Christ than there is for the people of the world. When we grieve, we can ask for his presence in the midst of those tears, and we can feel his presence. The Bible says that he collects your tears in a cup. In other words, not one tear has fallen from your eyes that God did not know about, that God did not care about. He keeps track of every tear you shed. Wow. You know, that's a God who wants to be there in your grief. He wants to be there. I could tell you stories. As one time I lost a baby, and I was so grieved. And God said, Judy, come sit with me for a while. Come. And I went and I sat and I felt, to this day, I am moved by the power of God's love and how he is there when you're in pain. And some of you this morning are carrying around pain, secret pain you don't want anybody to know. You need to bring it to the Lord. Don't harden your heart. Don't say, I will soldier on and I will not feel it. Go before the Lord. Share in that pain. Psalm 42, I want you to flip over, but keep your spot in 84. Psalm 42. This was written at a time when the writer was in great despair. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? When you're in pain, you go to God. They don't have to know where is your God. You know where your God is. Psalm 42:5, this is how deep he was feeling it. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you come so disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. We need his presence in those times. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, James 4:8 says. The nearer we come to God, this is a quote from Charles Spurgeon, by the way. The nearer we come to God, the more he will reveal himself to us. When the prodigal son comes to the father, his father runs to meet him. And that's in Luke 15. When the wandering dove returns to the ark, Noah puts out his hand to pull him in. Come then, dear friend, draw close to God who so graciously awaits us and runs to meet us. Psalm 145:18 said, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Isaiah 57:15, for thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on the high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. When we come before God in our pain and in our, even in our shame, whatever it is, when we come before him, he comes to revive us. Something supernatural happens that cannot happen any other way. You will not find revival power in the bottom of a whiskey bottle. You will not find revival power by trying to keep yourself so busy you feel nothing. There is only one way to get revival power, and that is through God. We are broken and pushed down, but we rise again. Many times I've been overwhelmed by fear or pain, and it's my practice, especially at those times, especially when God feels far away, to press in and to wait for his presence, because I know I'm beaten. I know I can't do it. I need his presence. We sang the song that, I know I probably sang it too many weeks in a row here, but it's just so meaningful to me. That I wrote there, Spirit, fall upon me. Take my shame, take my pain. I'm not standing in God's presence because of my righteousness. I'm standing in God's presence because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is taking us back to entering his presence. You are not made holy by your righteous acts. You are made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the day we celebrated communion and we celebrated the blood of Christ coming upon us and the wonderful gift that God himself gave us. Wow, what a system God has set up, all in our favor. Amen. And I will call upon your name and I'll keep my eyes above the waves, for I am yours and you are mine. We call upon him. We keep our eyes upon him in sorrow. We seek that presence. Some people are very afraid to enter into that presence, but we know that we need it. It's not something to be ashamed of or embarrassed about. I remember when I was first saved, I come to church, and I came from a mess. I was a mess. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did in my life. I'm not perfect, and I'm still kind of a mess, but not as much as I was then. And I would come to church, and I would sit kind of right where Heather was. That was kind of my spot, Heather, by the way, when I was coming to church. Eventually, I moved forward because I was too short to see, and tall people kept sitting in front of me. You're nice and tall, so you don't need to worry. But I was, and I would just feel God's presence, and I would go to, and I would start to cry. I had Kleenex. I always had Kleenex because I knew I was going to cry. Now, obviously, I'm no better now, eh? And I knew I was going to cry in God's presence. And so after about, I don't know how many months of this, it was getting embarrassing because I noticed that other people were just standing there and singing. And, you know, God, this is getting embarrassing. Would you, and I actually said this, I said, God, would you stop making me cry at church? And so the next Sunday I came and I felt nothing. I might as well have gone shopping. I felt nothing. And the week after that, I came to church and I felt nothing. And then you can imagine what happened on the third Sunday. God, forgive me for even suggesting that. I want your presence. I want those tears because great things were taking place in those tears. Seek his presence. Don't be afraid of if it's an emotional thing. You're encountering the Almighty God, the King of the universe. I've seen people get more excited over Elvis, and he was nothing compared to God. Amen? We need to get excited about that. So our pilgrimage, we need his presence. On our pilgrimage, we need God's power. This is a word I want to focus on here, and there's two words for strength, and the word strength appears twice in this psalm. And so we want to look at it because it's one word to us, but in the actual Hebrew, it's two different words, and it has two different connotations, and I think we need to pick up on that. The first word for strength is found in verse 5, how blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Now that word is a very powerful word in itself. It's 5797 if you care. It's a fully a force, a security, a majesty, a boldness, a might. We find our might, our boldness, our security, our identity in God. And what we see here is the scriptures never talk about everybody doing everything right. We all have struggles, but we find our strength in God. We find a security in God. Even when we're weak, we are strong because we find our strength in God, our identity, our security. If you're always worried about whether or not God approves of you, you don't understand that you never were approved. You're only there by the blood of Jesus Christ. So get that off the table right now. That doesn't mean I'm against being righteous. I think if you love God, you should walk righteously. There's the problem if you don't. But what I want to have us understand is we don't need to always be worried that we're unacceptable to God, because the devil wants you to believe that. Because as soon as you think you're unacceptable to God, you don't approach him. And he doesn't want you to approach him. So if he can get you feeling really gross about who you are, he knows you're not going to go into the Holy of Holies. You are not going to enter into that God's presence and therefore get God's power. So you need to have some kind of a security in who you are in Jesus Christ through the blood of Jesus Christ, because your confidence is not in your righteousness. Your confidence is in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood. We sing it. We dance it. We're Pentecostals. We're allowed that. So we need to get that strength. I know people who don't go to church because they're nervous about, I'm not living a right life before God. I can't go to church. I can't go to church. Stop it. Get to church where you're going to get the power to overcome that. Come on. Get it right. Be secure. Get your strength from God. If you're going to walk all the way to Zion, if you're going to get this pilgrimage done, get some strength and confidence. Now, that doesn't mean we walk around pompous and all that, because that's pride. Remember who you are. You're a sinner saved by grace. Saved, though. Saved by grace. And sometimes we get our strength from other places because we don't know how to draw that from God. We don't know how to get our identity and our strength from God. So we start to look for jobs and we start to look for success. We start to look for riches to make us feel full and complete. We look for people to make us feel full and complete when it is only God who can do that. Jeremiah 17, 5-8, this is what it says. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes his flesh his strength. Ooh, Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes his flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he'll be like a bush in the desert and will not see prosperity come, but will live in stony waste and in wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Your soul is going to shrivel up and die if you're not looking for your identity in God. If you're looking for your boost, your revival, to come from any other place besides God, you're going to end up thirsty and dry. But it goes on. I like this part. This is the best part. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. When trouble comes, the person who has learned to put some roots in the ground, in the Word of God, in God himself, when those hard times come, and believe me, they come to everybody, no one is going to be exempt. If you have been this far in your life, praise God, watch out, it's still coming, because nobody gets off the hook. Troubles will come, and when they come, you need to draw that strength from God. That's the only place that's going to help you to maintain the fruit of the Spirit. The person who trusts in their own strength will not prosper. And the person who puts their strength in God, they're nourished even in those hard times. And they will still yield the fruit. They will not fall. The roots extend to a stream, it says. I just want to stop there just for one second. The idea of stream is living waters. You might have read in the Bible many times the term living waters. That's not like a still pool. Living waters are flowing waters, and that's what it's like with God. God is referred to as living waters. He gives you living waters, meaning it's constantly coming your way. It never stops. You have to tap into the living waters and to get your strength and let him be your strength. Now, the verse 7, having gone to that idea, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. They go from strength to strength. Now, this is a different word for strength. This one is, I might say this wrong, but I'm trying, kayil. And this kind of a strength, when they go from strength to strength, is not the same one as the identity and the confidence and the boldness. This identity of strength, understanding of strength, is as a resource. They go from resource to resource, God being your resource for strength. And I want you to think about if you got a plan to go through a desert. I've never been to one. I've been thirsty walking on a beach, and that was about as close as I've ever come. It was hard. But, you know, you think I'm going to cross the desert. And so if you were to plot on a map to cross the desert, you might want to do it as quickly as possible, and so you would go as the crow flies. As they say, straight out. Get right straight across it. The quicker the better, right? Wrong. You see, in the biblical times, they didn't do that. They understood where the oases were. And so they knew that if they went for the long haul, if they just shot that way, that they would probably die about halfway, if not three quarters of the way. Yeah, they would start off strong. Yeah, they would be good, but they would never make it to the end because they didn't stop at the oasis and refill. So they would kind of ping pong around to where the oases were, and they would get their strength, and then they would go on to the next oasis where they would get their strength, and they would go on to the next oasis. Oasis where they would get their strength. In other words, you've got to get off your own agenda and get onto God's and spend that time with God to get your strength, or you're not going to make it. You need to refresh. You need to draw from the resources of God in order to make it through the whole journey as a pilgrim on your way to Zion. This says they make it a spring, the valley of Baca. This is the valley of weeping. This is the hard times we're talking about, the valley of Baca. I don't know, there are some of you that I know in this room that you have been through the valley of Baca. Amen. You needed your strength from God. And I'm going to tell you something about that, by the way, people of God, because we are the temple of God. We are a unity. We are a body. We are together, knit together. We are bound for life. I hope you like me. You spend eternity with me. Having said that, when another member of your body is broken and in pain and weeping and going through sorrow, we are to be there to pray for them, to hold their hand through that time. Because I'm going to tell you, it feels very alone. It's a very lonely walk. Nobody can understand your pain as well as God, and I get that. But that doesn't mean we're off the hook to pray. There's nothing you can say, no, and there's nothing you can do other than to ask God to do it for you, and that is only done through prayer. Pray for those who are weeping. Care for them in this way. It is felt. There is a difference. I can always tell when someone's praying for me. I feel something in my spirit. I feel a little lift. I feel a little blessing. And thank you, everyone, whoever has prayed for me, because it makes a difference. We need to pray for each other, but we need to draw from that well. Habakkuk 3:19 talks about that same word from strength as being a resource. He says it this way: the Lord God is my strength. The Lord God is my resource for power. And he has made my feet like hind's feet, and he makes me walk on high places. You know what? This isn't just getting by. This is victory. When you draw from God's strength, you will walk through it wisely, carefully, and you will have victory. Those who want that strength and look to God as the resource, let those tears flow in that valley of Baca. Let him be your resource. You can't do it once and then try to take on the whole desert. Make it a daily practice. You have no idea what that day is going to bring. I suggest personally, my own personal walk is I like to do it in the morning. It just puts me in the right attitude for the rest of the day. Starts me on the right day, so I do a lot less repenting come 5 o'clock. We need his presence. We need his power. And I love this one because it's just sort of snuck in there. We need his protection. You know, if you read that over again, you might wonder where I'm getting my point from. But catch this. The God of hosts, he says right off the hop in verse 1. And he refers to the God of hosts, the Lord of hosts, again in verse 12. And in verse 9, he's our shield. And in verse 11, the Lord God is our sun and shield. We're actually going to close with the song Angel Armies, but I very much picked that on purpose because I love this one. This is powerful that he uses those names for God, because we think of God as our friend, our sweet, gentle spirit. And we know he's mighty God and he created all the universe and we're all in awe of that. But this psalmist says, the God of hosts. How lovely are they, a dwelling place, oh God of angel armies. You know, how powerful is this God? I have a scripture marked here in Revelations. I've probably said this before, but I'll say it again. I'm going to read it because I just love it. It's just one of those things that gives me goosebumps. It's just like, I don't know if you ever watched Lion King and the little coyote dogs or whatever, they're going, Mufasa, ooh. You know, that's how I feel about this one. This is so awesome, because the same God that spent time with me this morning, that spoke gently to me this morning, he's my friend. He's my friend. He's your friend. This same God is this one. And then I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are like a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. And he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he's clothed with a white robe dripped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine white linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, that with it he may smite the nations. Oh, Lord, foolish. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepresses of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Doesn't that just give you a thrill? When you are praying to God about your problems, you are talking straight up to the guy who's got like a horde of angels there that he can dispatch at any second and do the work. Wow! Now, be careful. I do not worship angels, and angels in the Bible would never receive worship. Let's not become all about angels. But let's understand that our God, our friend, is the biggest chief and commander there is ever of all time. And we're not praying to some wimpy little God. We're not praying to someone who can do nothing except sympathize. He can change everything. He's powerful. And we need to understand when we're praying, we're talking to a powerful God. He's got angels there. This is cool. Get that image next time you're asking God. God, I need help with this. God, keep me from temptation. God, help me to deal with this person. God, help me to deal with this big problem. He's got mighty angels there. Psalm 91:11, you've heard this before. He'll give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 34:7, I love this. The angel of the Lord, that's Jesus, encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Cool. He's camping around you and he's going to rescue you. Psalm 34, 18-19, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We already talked about that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Not some, all of them. You get him involved. You get the God of angel armies involved. You get him ready to do some warfare. Cool stuff. Last time I preached, I referred to Daniel and how when Daniel prayed, there was angels that were dispatched. He had no clue. When you pray, there's angels who are dispatched. You may not have a clue. We don't see them. We don't see their work. I believe they're here right now because there's enough of us here that certainly one of us has got an angel here. I believe there's angels in our midst right now. No, we do not worship him because I also believe that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is in our midst right now. So, we have the presence, the power, the protection, and I'll wrap it up with this. We need his promises. It talks in this. There's some promises. First of all, that we're on our way to Zion. The Lord is a sun and a shield, gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in thee. These are blessings. This was one of the scriptures, by the way, that I mentioned that I had a conversation with God about. What do you mean, no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly? You know what? Sometimes we do everything right and everything falls to pot on us. Does that mean this isn't true? But sometimes we're missing what the good thing is. We think the good thing is that we get everything our way and everything goes hunky-dory and all is well. That's woohoo, praise God. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes those things that you learn when things don't go your way are the most valuable lessons you will learn in your life. Many great men will say they learn more from their mistakes than they did from their successes. We will not always get everything we want. That does not mean that this is not true. What is a good thing? What is a good thing? The good thing is God himself. The good thing is his word. Sometimes we ask amiss, James says. We need to be reasonable in what we believe is a good thing and not twist the scripture and say, well, it can't be right because I didn't get everything I want. You see, bad things happen to good people. And in fact, my experience is that sometimes when there's a sin committed, it's the innocent who suffer more than the guilty. It's horrible. But that's the way of the world right now because we are not under Christ's rule right now. The world is struggling to move forward, and it's struggling under the burden of sin, and sin destroys and kills. When you commit a sin, you hurt way more than you. You hurt other people. And so when we look at what is this good thing, I like this. Matthew 7, 7 to 11. One of my faves. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. What is that talking about? Is that asking for a new car? If I go looking for a new car, I'll get one? No. It's about godly things. It's about spiritual things. I told you, I asked God, help me understand this. He did. By answering, we asked this. You know, it's a very Jewish answering a question with a question. Anyway, everyone who receives and he who seeks finds, and to him knocks, it'll be open. Verse 7 and 8 of Matthew, keeping going on down to a verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? How much more is he going to do it? If you want more of the Spirit of God, he's going to give it to you. If you are hungry and thirsty after the presence of God, he is going to give it to you. If you want more of the gifts of the Spirit, pray and seek, and he will give it to you. If you want understanding to the Word of God, please pray and ask, and he will give it to you. No good thing will he withhold from you. And this, the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, this is what we're after. The love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, gentleness. These are the things he's going to give you. You want power to forgive somebody? Spend time with him. He will give it to you. He will give it to you. And he'll talk to you. And it'll be wonderful. And sometimes you will ask God for an answer, and he'll give it to you, and you'll go, oh, man, was I ever dumb? How did I not see that? It's great. I love it. Luke 11, 13 is the same. And it says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, if it goes right back to draw near to God, he'll draw near to you stuff. The more you want from him, the more he'll give it to you. He wants you to ask him. He wants you to be seeking him. Psalm 34, 8, talking about what is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. We're coming up to Christmas. And y'all probably have your Christmas gifts planned and for people, and you know when you give them that gift, they're going to be happy. And I know when I get some of my gifts, I'm going to be happy too. It's happy. It's all good. If I'm not a spoiled brat and I'm like, oh, I want this. No, I'm going to be happy. But understand that that happiness is fleeting. That kind of happiness does not reach the soul. But the kind of happiness and the kind of joy you get from God, it's deep. It's deep and it reaches the soul. Those times you spend with God, I was telling you about an incident that happened. This is like 30 years ago when I had this, lost this baby. And yet here today I'm telling you about the wonderful presence of God, and I weep because of the wonderful presence of God. It touched my soul so deep that many, many years later, I'm still blessed from it. That's God's goodness. That's God's goodness. And I tell you, we need to have a hunger for this. If you don't have a hunger for it, pray about that. Start there. Lord, give me a hunger for more of you. If your problem is sin, there's a promise for you. We're talking about needing God's promises. If your struggle is with sin or a sin that you've committed in the past, 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Stand on that promise. If you're struggling from guilt, stand on that promise. It's there. Psalm 145:18, the Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. If you are bowed down, claim that promise. There are so many promises in the book of the Lord. I tried to underline them with a certain color, and it just was like a lot of ink. There's a lot of promises in here, and God wants us to stand on the promises. I love that song, Standing on the Promises of God. It's great. It's something to rejoice in. He gave us those promises because he wants us to know he's going to do it. And if we don't know he's going to do it, we won't have that same confidence. But we can be confident that God will keep his word. We're going to wrap up here. We need God's presence. We need God's power. We need God's protection. We need God's promises. And if you're here today and you need any of these four elements in your life, these altars are going to be open. We're going to open them up. Don't be shy and don't be holding back. Just come to the front. And there will be people that will pray for you, right, Murray, right, Luce Marie? You'll come and pray if somebody comes up here. Anybody else, Betty, Alvin, anybody, Heather, you know, if you feel the need to come and pray with somebody, just come up and just have that courage and that confidence to pray as we join together. And I'm going to have everybody just bow their head for a minute this morning. Everybody bow your head. We are all on a journey here this morning. And if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Judy, I don't think my life is right. I don't think I have that blood of Jesus Christ to cover my heart, and I can't have any of these things. I want those, and I want to have Jesus Christ to cleanse my heart. If that's you this morning, just slide your hand up in the air. I'm going to pray with you right where you're sitting. Just slide your hand in the air. Is there anybody else? Slide your hand in the air. We're going to pray just for you. All right. If you're here this morning and say, Pastor Judy, I need more. I need that hunger for God and that joy of the Lord back in my life. Will you just slide your hand in the air? I'm going to pray for you right where you sit. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. We're going to learn to draw from those wells. Hallelujah. Lord, you saw those hands this morning. And Lord, those two that raised their hand, I ask God that you would make your presence known to them even right now, that they would have that strength, that confidence in knowing that they are in you. And Lord, I pray for all of us, Lord, that you would increase our hunger for you, that we would not be able to get enough of you, that we would constantly hunger and thirst for more of you. Lord, raise that up, and especially those, Lord, who raised their hand as they said, I want to draw near to you. Lord, even now I pray that you would draw near to them with your Holy Spirit and with your presence and your power. Lord, fill this room with your power and your presence. That we would all, that not one in this room would be lost, but that we would all go through the gates of Zion, Lord, singing the song of redemption and rejoicing in you. Let none be caught in the desert and dry up. But Lord, help us all to stay strong in you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'm going to call the band up. We're going to close with Angel Armies because I love that picture of God coming and working on our behalf. Whom shall I fear?